In the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ, amen. As we continue to travel down this road of Jesus' last week of life before he is crucified, we arrive at a sad place in a way. We arrive at the betrayal of Jesus by one of his very own disciples. Now, I'm sure all of us have had the experience in one way or another of being betrayed, having a deep secret told by a close friend or relative to somebody, or just being betrayed for some reason that we just don't even understand. And so we come to this idea of betrayal. Now, as we look at betrayal, betrayal really started very early on in human history. It started in the Garden of Eden, when Adam and Eve betrayed the God who had created them, the God who had given them the entire world and a beautiful place to live. And they betrayed his relationship because they began to listen to another voice, the voice of Satan, and to their own voices, which told them, we are going to do life our way rather than God's way. There have been a lot of famous traitors throughout the history of the world. Israel continued that idea of betraying God. Time and time again, they worshiped other gods. They created a golden calf. They'd strayed away from God and betrayed his love and his providence for them. In the history of our world, there have been other traitors. There has been Benedict Arnold, for instance, and Aaron Burr, Matahari, and others. In World War II, Quisling. In fact, that became a synonymous name for traitor, a Quisling, a Norwegian politician who betrayed his country. We just celebrated the Ides of March a couple of days ago. And what happened on the Ides of March? Anybody remember? Oh, I wasn't there, but I mean, do any of you remember what it was from your history books? It was Julius Caesar being betrayed. You too, Brutus? Close friend of his stabbed him in the back. And don't we often call being betrayed being stabbed in the back? You know, we have all these images that we find from betrayals. But I think the most devastating betrayal of all is the betrayal of Judas, of his master, Jesus. A vacation Bible school teacher had been teaching a lesson on Judas and the 30 pieces of silver and the betrayal. And as any good Bible school teacher would do, she was kind of wrapping it all up, and she wanted to ask the kids, see what they learned about this. And so she said, who betrayed Jesus for 30 pieces of silver? And without missing a beat, her own little boy, who was 7 years old and was in the class, yelled out, Judas the scariest. And Judas is, in some ways, the scariest. He's scarier than Pontius Pilate. He's scarier than Caiaphas. He's scarier than the guards who nailed Jesus to the cross. He's scarier than a lot of things we know. You know, when we look at our contemporary world and we say, well, what scares us? And maybe what scares you is Frankenstein, okay? Or Freddy Krueger. But Judas is scarier even than those two. He isn't a misshaped monster who comes after us. He isn't someone who is in our nightmares attacking us. The difference between Frankenstein and Freddy Krueger and Judas, the scariest, is that Judas is real. And you know what that means? That means that if Judas is real, any one of those disciples, any one of them, could have betrayed Jesus. And you know what? If any one of them could have betrayed Jesus, any one of us here today could have betrayed our Lord Jesus Christ. And that, my brothers and sisters, is scary. So who is this man named Judas? He's a very interesting character because he's very different than some of the other disciples as we read through the scriptures. Judas was a very common name. It meant Yahweh leads. And, you know, that's a good thing. It would seem to be a little bit weird when you consider what he eventually did. But his name also is different than some of the others. Iscariot comes from the word Ish, which means man, and Kerioth, which is the name of the region or town that he came from. Judas is the only disciple who is geographically identified by his name, Iscariot. And he is the only non-Galilean among all the disciples, and he is the only southern Judean Jew. So he's kind of one of a kind, isn't he? And we know that, as this is all recorded in the Bible, we wonder why his call was not recorded. If you read, you know, it's very clear when Jesus called the disciples who were fishing, but Judas just kind of shows up. Jesus, all of a sudden, we see Judas included in the disciples, and Jesus chose him for some reason. Now, we don't know exactly what was going through Judas' mind. Was he some kind of a power broker who saw Jesus as a different kind of Messiah, a Messiah who would take the Roman rule away from them? Or was he just interested in money or something like that? So why did Jesus call him then in this kind of mysterious way that we just really don't know about? Each one of the disciples we do know had some special talents and gifts, and they had additional talents and gifts when the Holy Spirit came on Pentecost and they were sent into the whole world. Now, Judas obviously had money skills because he was the treasurer of the group. And yet, when you got to wonder, why didn't Jesus ask Matthew to be the money guy? Because Matthew was also a money guy. He was a tax collector. He handled money. He worked for Rome. And he would have been, I would think, one logical choice to handle the money. But Jesus, in his foreknowledge, knew something. And I don't know whether that had anything to do with the job that he had among the group. In his foreknowledge, Jesus knew that Judas was the one who was going to betray him. Now, I said foreknowledge. I didn't say predestined to do it. Okay, did you hear me clearly on that? Because that's important, all right? He knew, but it wasn't destined that he do this. It was prophesied that someone would do this, all right? So as we go through, we listen to some of the prophecies that we hear from Psalm 41, verse 9. Even my close friend in whom I trusted, who ate my bread, has lifted his heel against me. And you know, you have to think of the Last Supper when Jesus dipped the bread with him. He who eats my bread, there's so much packed into here. And then in Zechariah, which we heard, then the Lord said to me, throw it to the potter, the lordly price at which I was priced by them. So I took the 30 pieces of silver and threw them into the house of the Lord to the potter. And we know, if we jump ahead a little bit in the story, that Judas did just that. Eventually, he comes back to the Pharisees and to the priests. He says, I don't want this money, and he throws it in. And what do they use it for? To build a graveyard, a potter's field. So all this stuff is happening here in Scripture. Betrayal by a trusted friend of Jesus, and I think it could have been any one of those disciples, if you think about it, was written even before the betrayal. And even Jesus says this, while I was with them, I kept them in your name, which you have given me. I have guarded them, and not one of them has been lost except the son of destruction. He's speaking of his disciples, that the scripture might be fulfilled. So was betrayal going to happen? Yes. We live in a broken world. We have broken people. It was inevitable that betrayal would happen. God prophesied. God wrote it in his scripture. Did it have to be Judas? Then you ask, why did Judas betray Jesus? Was it because of money? Was it because of greed? Was it because he was trying to force Jesus to incite a rebellion which he would lead to get rid of all of the Romans? To understand why he did it, I believe you have to understand the character of Judas. In John 4, when Mary anoints Jesus, and you've heard about that already, we are told that Judas was upset about it. But Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples, he who was about to betray him, said, "Why was this ointment not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor?" He said this not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. And having charge of the money bag, he used to help himself to what was put into it. And we learn something about Judas's bad character here. He wasn't concerned about the poor. Did you catch that? And in addition to that, he was a thief. So he was not a person of noble character, and yet he's in this group of 12 disciples. He's called a thief. And Jesus also knows something else about Judas, because remember, he is Son of God and Son of Man, that Judas had been filled with evil. Jesus answered them, "Did I not choose you, the 12, and yet one of you is a devil?" He spoke of Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, for he, one of the 12, was going to betray him. So the character of Judas was influenced because it was the devil who was in his ear, just like with Adam and Eve, just like with us, when that happened, when we become betrayers. And Jesus says he is filled with the devil. You see, what fills you is important, and why and how you act. If there's a vacuum, something needs to fill it. And brothers and sisters, in our faith, it can be filled in two ways. It can be filled with the Holy Spirit, or it can be filled with the devil. If the Holy Spirit is not filling a heart, then the devil, the world, and our sinful flesh will take up residence there. Judas was a man of dubious character, and he initiated that betrayal. And you have to wonder about those priests. Here comes Judas to them, who says, "Look, I want to betray Jesus." Now, you know that they have been trying to find a way to condemn him. They've been plotting behind the scenes. The plot is building. They're getting more and more agitated. They're looking for a way to take Jesus down and to take him out of the picture. So Judas comes to them and says, "I will do that for you." They had to be filled with glee. They probably couldn't believe what they were hearing. They weren't going to let this one slip through their fingers. And so Judas asks for a price. That is in Scripture of 30 pieces of silver. Now, 30 pieces of silver is used in other places of Scripture. Moses uses it. If a servant is killed by an ox, 30 pieces of silver is the required reimbursement. So 30 pieces of silver is used in a lot of places. So I just wanted to, and by the way, 30 pieces of silver, that's what 30 pieces of silver looks like. And I'm going to hide it after the service here, but 30 pieces of silver looks like. And if you have any of this laying around, we have a capital campaign coming up. Just saying, you know. 30 pieces of silver is about 3 months' work, okay? This is probably, I don't know, $450, $500 worth of silver right here. So just so you know what that kind of looks like, what silver looks like. What a deal for those Pharisees. What a deal. 30 pieces of silver. And they weren't going to let this one go. They weren't going to let it go. But we know that the account does not have a happy ending, because Judas eventually dies. He hangs himself on a tree. And Jesus dies. He goes to the tree of the cross. One tree leads to salvation. The other tree leads to eternal damnation. Judas' death was violent. We read that when Judas, who had betrayed him, saw that Jesus was condemned, he was seized with remorse. Now, that word remorse is really important, because it does not say repentance. That the understanding of that word in the original language is regret, or felt bad, okay, for what he had done. And therein lies the problem. He felt bad about it, but he was not repentant about it. That is the crux of all of this. He could not bring himself to deal with sin and to go to Jesus himself, who would grant him forgiveness. Remorse versus repentance is really, really important. And this finally fulfilled the prophecy of Zechariah. So what about Judas? Where did he end up? What was in store for him? You know, I had somebody ask me a while back, you think Judas got a bad rap? And I don't think you can say that, because of his character and other things. But let me ask you this. Could Judas have been saved? Absolutely. Absolutely. Because the grace of God is for all people, even for the worst of us, even for Judas himself. Wow, that's a powerful statement. You know, Peter did something just as bad, didn't he? In the courtyard, he denied Jesus three times. What's the difference between Peter and Judas? Peter knew where forgiveness was. Peter was not just remorseful and regretful, he was repentant. God's grace is free for all of us. You and I, when we do something so despicable, so bad, we do not have to end our lives in despair, as did Judas. He didn't have to do that. I want you to listen to something. Did you hear that? That's the sound of eternal damnation. That's the sound of betrayal. Listen. Listen. You hear anything? No. That's the sound of what it cost you nothing for your salvation. But salvation does not come without a cost, does it? It costs God a lot. Our salvation cost God blood money. No, not the blood money of 30 pieces of silver. I'm not talking about that. But the blood of Jesus Christ. For God redeemed us not with gold or silver, but with his catechism, holy, precious blood, that I may be his own and live under him in his kingdom. You see, God paid the price with Christ. And now we move ever closer to our salvation, to Good Friday, and to the cross. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. We continue with our worship.